Welcome to our examination of the fifth week of Lent in Cycle B. We begin today with a reading from the prophet Jeremiah. At this time, I ask you to find Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, and read those. When you are ready, continue with this presentation. Along with Isaiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah is considered one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. We must understand, however, that the word major does not mean of more importance, but simply the amount of writing we have from these three prophets. The minor prophets are equally important, but we have fewer of their writings. Jeremiah is the longest book in the Bible. Chapter 31 comes from that part of Jeremiah called the Book of Consolation. Jeremiah was timid by nature, but he received assurance and given the courage by God to complete his task, which was to announce to the people that the kingdom would fall. But in the midst of this devastation and personal anguish, being rejected by his own people, Jeremiah also gives us a clue of what will come. We read, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant." This is the only mention in the Old Testament of a new covenant, covenant being the Latin word testament. The old covenant that the people were familiar with was between God and his chosen people. But with this new covenant, now all will be invited to live God's word, both the chosen people and the Gentiles, those who were not Jewish. The key point in the prophet Jeremiah was that it was not just enough to know the law, but we also have to live the law. Which is why God says, in the olden times, the law was written in stone. But now, the law will not only be written in stone, but in the hearts of the people as well. The New Testament reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. At this time, please read those passages, and then press to continue. This letter was written prior to the year 70 AD. That was the year that the temple was destroyed. But in this letter, the present tense is used to describe the temple and the sacrifices being made there. The letter does not identify who the author is, who the readers are to be, and where this letter is being sent. Early study attributed the letter to Paul, but later studies show that Paul may not have been the author, as this letter is not structured as Paul's other formal letters are, but is presented as more of a homily, with Jesus as the high priest par excellence, and the importance of living the new covenant. In verse 9 we read that he was made perfect, and while we think of the word perfect as meaning moral purity, in Greek the word perfect means mission accomplished. Jesus, by his paschal mystery, his life, suffering, death, and resurrection, was made perfect in that his mission was accomplished, which was to fulfill his Father's will. The Gospel reading for the fifth Sunday of Lent comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 33. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. The passage today comes from the events that happened right before the Last Supper. We read that some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip. The Greeks were probably Gentile converts, or they were God-fearers who were attracted to Judaism but were still looking for the answers. The Greeks came to Jerusalem at the Passover feast knowing that there would be many there to answer their questions. It is interesting that they came to Philip. Although he was a Jew, Philip had a Greek-sounding name, and so perhaps they felt more comfortable talking to one of their own. In verse 23, we read Jesus saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." If we recall at the wedding feast of Cana, when asked to help out with the situation of the lack of wine, Jesus says his hour has not come yet. But here he makes the official pronouncement that his hour is now. We read in verse 24, "Amen, amen," which was a clue to the Jewish readers that when a word is repeated, it means, "Pay attention, for what I am about to say is of importance to your life." The hour has come for him to be glorified. In Greek, the word glorified meant a visible manifestation of what was unseen. With this hour, the divinity that was in Jesus would be seen by all. But he warns that first, like a grain of wheat, he has to die in order to produce much fruit. It is interesting in that his hour of glorification will also be his hour of agony. And we see the human side of Jesus in verse 27 as he says, "I am troubled." His human side is weak, but he asks for strength from the Father. "Father, save me from this hour." He asks for strength. And as we read in verse 28, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The Father promises, and the Father delivers. This is only the third time in the New Testament we hear the voice of God. First, we heard it in the Gospel of Matthew at Jesus' baptism, when a dove appeared and a voice came from the clouds. The second time we hear the voice of God is also in Matthew, at the Transfiguration, when after Jesus' divinity is revealed to Peter, James, and John, we hear the voice from the cloud. Jesus is telling us that suffering will occur because we are human beings, and life sometimes plays cruel tricks on us. But if we ask the Father for help, the Father will provide. This is Deacon Mike reminding you to live the Word.